the car that we were driving in, I guess it was specially made. You could pull the back seat down as the car was driving, and there was a small compartment that was separated by some kind of a covering underneath the trunk itself. He could not stop the car because we were going on a highway, and if he would have stopped, he would have drawn attention from the police that was regularly patrolling that area. So he said he couldn't stop, and we had to climb into this compartment as he was driving.
Wait a second. Now, I'm having a hard time painting this picture in my mind. It's a sports car, so it's a pretty small car, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a big car. It was a regular sports car. It did have, you know, a full back seat.
So when you say he pulled the seat down, you mean he pulled the back of the seat forward as if it were to come flat?
Yes, exactly.
And you had to sort of clamber then over that into the what would be the trunk at that point?
Yes, exactly. So we climbed through that and laid down in the compartment.
All three of you?
Yes. It was pretty crowded.
Who went in first?
I think my mother went in first, and then my brother, and then me.
And then what happened? Did the seat get stood back up and the whole thing covered?
Right, he pushed the seat back up. My mother was afraid. She told me later that because we had to do this very quickly, and he kind of slammed the seat back up, and my mother was afraid that he had gotten my brother caught in the seat before my brother made it all the way in, but everything was fine, and we were all in there, laying there. And
the car's still moving at this point, though, right?
He's never stopped, yeah.
And are you able to talk to your mother and little brother at this point?
Yeah, we talked to each other, whispered to each other, and it smelled very heavily of gasoline in the car. So needless to say, not long after we were in the car, I did get car sick, so it was just horrible. But we laid there, you know, very quietly and whispered to each other as we were driving.
Three people in a hidden little box with now vomit in the box as well.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Were you frightened at this point?
I guess we were. I'm sure my mother must have been just beside herself, you know. I mean, my brother was seven, and being convinced to keep a seven-year-old quiet under circumstances like that,
yeah.
I don't know how she, you know, found the courage to do that. I was more excited. I didn't feel very frightened. For some reason, I didn't think it was going to go wrong. I thought it was going to work out, and we just had to do our part.
You're listening to the story. Uta Grove and her mother and brother just lay there, waiting to see what would happen next.
Then all of a sudden the car stopped, and we figured we were at the border. And there was a little gap between the back seat and where I was laying. I was the one closest to the back of the back seat. And through that gap, I saw some light. And all of a sudden the car door, the passenger door of the car opened up, and I saw somebody reaching through the passenger door, speaking to our driver a little bit, getting the paperwork from him. And, you know, that's when we knew we were at the border. So we just laid there very quietly, didn't move. And the driver spoke with the guard or whoever it was that was asking for the paperwork. And they talked for a few minutes. And next thing we knew, the passenger door shut and the car started moving again. So we thought, okay. And the car kept on driving. We're driving about another half hour, and then the car stopped again, and we lay there quietly once again and didn't move, and we heard the driver get out of the car, and he walked towards the back of the car, and somebody else was there, and we heard some men talking, and next thing we knew that the trunk was opened. Somebody opened up the trunk, and our driver says, okay, you can come out now. So we figured, okay, well, we made it across the border. You know, we all cheered and hugged each other, and we were just completely excited to be out of there.
Uta Grove and her mother and brother spent the next 6 months in refugee housing in West Germany while they waited for their paperwork to come to the U.S. They left Germany and arrived in the U.S. on Christmas Eve, 1973.
It was a cold winter day. We still had our coats that we had taken with us, and then when we got to Miami, it was a beautiful, sunny, absolutely gorgeous day. And we were so excited, and my aunt and my four cousins were waiting for us as we got off the airplane. Everybody was just hugging, and I gave one of my cousins a hug, who I thought was one cousin, but it was the other one, actually, who had grown up in the meantime. So we didn't even recognize exactly who was who anymore because we hadn't seen each other in so long. But, you know, it was just an exciting, exciting day. And then we, you know, all got into the car and drove to their house. And we were just all chattering and excited and telling each other of our adventures and what we were going to be doing.
And, of course, you'd go straight into Christmas from that point.
We did. Well, I mean,
so America must have looked pretty good.
Christmas Eve. Yep, definitely.
I always wonder if there's regret when you think back to what was left behind. Because no matter how tough it is, it's the place where you're born. It is home in a certain way. I just wonder if in your family there's any conversation about that.
My mother asks me that question sometimes, and I think it's because she wants reassurance that she made the right decision and that we are happy. And I keep telling her, you know, my opportunities in East Germany would have been limited because we didn't belong to the political party and we attended church, which was frowned upon by the Communist Party. So I don't think I would have had the same educational opportunities that I had here in the United States. Certainly wouldn't have had the freedom to do the things that I wanted to do like I could here in the United States. But the freedoms that we have here are really amazing, and we just, even now I find myself taking things for granted all the time. And then when I hear these stories, when I heard the Bly story on the radio, it reminded me, you know, we went through this, and what we risked and what my mother risked to give us these opportunities and to give us a life of freedom is something that should be cherished and we should never take for granted.
Ute Grove celebrates her Escape Day, August 5th, each year with her mother, Hiltrud, who lives near her in Seminole, Florida. Her aunt, Elsie, also lives in Florida. Ute joined me from the studios of WUSF in Tampa, Florida. She and her family are now in touch with the Bly brothers, and they may have a reunion. If you have your own strange or wonderful connection story like this one, let me know. You can go to our website at thestory.org. Or call and leave me a message at 1-888-966-9862. Coming up tomorrow in the story, one of our favorite stories from this past year, a musician's tale with lots of twists and turns. Matthew Stoneman spent over 4 years in a California prison on robbery charges, and while he was there, he developed some new skills, playing guitar and singing songs in Spanish.
Levante mi casa de desperdicios. En tierra que el hombre despreció, saqué mis latas para lluvia recoger. Ni una gota no cayó.
When I first walked down on the prison yard with my guitar, on one side of the prison is the, you know, the Americans doing like country rock Eagles, and on the other side were the Mexicans in like a circle doing their songs. And just over the years, I learned songs from several of them. And I learned over 100 songs. But when I read back through my prison journal, I had no intention of getting out from prison and doing this for a living. I didn't even know you could. I didn't know there were Latino troubadours walking around.
Cuando vuelva a tu lado.
From a life of crime to serenading Latinos in the barrios of Los Angeles, that's our story tomorrow. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story.
El amor que te he dado no podrás encontrar.
Support for The Story comes from the Redwoods Group Foundation, promoting B-Lab's efforts to educate America on using the power of business to solve social and environmental problems. bcorporation.net.
The Story is a production of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
American Public Media.